Support comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. This winter, Strategic Farm Marketing is holding risk management seminars near you. A complete list of meeting dates and locations can be found at sfarmmarketing.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the January 4 edition of Commodity Week. I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting. He's out of Waco, Texas. Michael Cordonier of Soybean and Corn Advisor out of Hinsdale, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Michael, let's start with you. You do a lot of traveling from time to time in South America and keep really good tabs on what's been happening there. What is your information at this point about the crop condition in Argentina?
Okay, well, Argentina is the area of concern between the two countries. Brazil is doing pretty good, but Argentina, it's sort of unpredictable. The corn in Argentina is right at 70% planted, very slow this year, actually record slow planting. Average usually show you about 86%. And if you look at the condition of the crop, it's rated generally about 11% very poor, 21% poor, 34% fair, 30 good, and only 3 excellent. So it's sort of average at best. Now, the problem for the corn is a lot of the early corn ran into hot and dry conditions during December when it was pollinating. So I think the early corn is going to be disappointing. They're still planting the later corn, and the forecast does not look very good. There's not much rain in the forecast at all. So I think corn between the two crops is most at risk in Argentina. The soybeans in Argentina, 91% planted, a little bit slower than average. Average is 93, so that's not very bad at all. And the rating for the soybeans, I think they're 9% poor, about 40% fair, and a little bit more than 50% good. So they're fair to good. Soybeans, of course, can have a bad start and do okay at the end. So I think the jury is out on the soybeans, but the corn definitely has some problems.
So our information, at least as it came Thursday afternoon from Mike Tenura at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, who told us that some of the models he uses were telling him that about, and this is approximate, but I'll round up one and round down the other, about 90% of the production area for both the corn and soybeans had been very, very dry for a 60-day period, that the rainfall they were supposed to get over the winter break didn't really materialize very well, and that while he sees some rain in the next, 7 to 10 days, that's a pretty tough call, and it's just the conditions are rough there. How much rainfall do you think they need to make a recovery? And I'm guessing you're thinking corn, as you've already stated, is in much worse condition, at least at this point, than beans.
Yes, the corn's are much worse. The soils in Argentina hold water very well, just as good as anything in Illinois or Iowa. But they've been dry now since about, October, November, when they started this dry cycle. So they would need, an inch a week to maintain the situation. It's been getting hotter. It's just middle of summer right now in Argentina. So anything less than an inch a week, and I think the soil moisture is going to continue to deteriorate. And I don't see that much in the forecast at all. Now, this dryness also extends into far southern Brazil, the southern state of Rio Grande do Sul. That's mostly a soybean situation there. The rest of Brazil is doing pretty good. So Argentina is the area to watch here going forwards.
And when you roll these numbers forward, what do you see for their production and how that impacts international trade, if at all?
Well, I have the Argentine corn estimate at, hang on one second here, I got the corn at 42 million tons, and that compares about equal to last year. Now, they increased the area, but the yield's going to be down. But I have a lower bias going forwards. So I think that 42 million might be on the optimistic side, especially if this forecast verifies. For the soybeans in Argentina, I have 55 million. That's a couple million tons less than last year. And likewise, I have a lower bias going forwards in Argentina. So both of those crops are probably going to move lower if this forecast, you know, turns out to be true. Now, we also got to look at Brazil. In Brazil, the soybean crop is actually getting better. I just raised my soybean estimate in Brazil up to 109 million tons. That's still 5 million tons less than last year. But if Brazil keeps getting better, they could compensate for what might be lost for the soybeans in Argentina. So the soybeans might be sort of a status quo. We can take both countries together. But for the corn, it's not going to happen. The corn crop in Brazil, I'm expecting to be way lower than last year. Last year, they produced about almost 98 million tons. I have Brazil corn down to 88 million with a lower bias. So the corn crop in South America is going to be way short of last year, way short of last year. I don't see anything that can change that. Soybeans, Brazil might compensate for Argentina, but for corn, both countries are going to have a lower corn crop.
Does the corn crop coming out of South America then, as it has, at least in previous times, out of Brazil when they had a really tough drought 2 years ago, have a lot of potential to impact the price of corn in Chicago?
Well, it has a small potential. Problem is we've got lots of corn around the world. That's the problem. So it could. I look at it this way. If they have a problem in South America, it might keep the corn price from going lower. You know, may not bump it higher very much, but probably won't keep it from going too much lower either.
Okay, given all of that, Dan, and the carryouts that we currently have domestically in the United States and on the world stage, is there much hope for a market rally if things don't change dramatically somewhere on the planet?
Yeah, we probably need some bigger changes than that, but you got to keep in mind what South America is growing today is basically more of a competitor to our 1920 balance sheet than our 17-18 balance sheet. It'll be more of a difference from the 18-19 balance sheet. So I don't think it necessarily impacts anything short term, but I think longer term what it'll do, there's going to be less competition from South America. I mean, it's not a significant amount on corn, but when you take 10 million off of Brazil's corn production, you take a couple million off of their Argentina's corn production, that means at least there's less corn to compete with in the world market. Now, the soybean situation looks like the Brazilian situation could maybe offset the Argentine situation, but we're still down from a year ago. So I think longer term, it helps out, like I said, the 18-19 balance sheets for demand. Short term here, I think we would have to have something a little more significant to try to bring that demand forward. If all of a sudden the South American crop really tailed off significantly over the next 30 to 60 days, then that would help out this current export demand, because that demand would come forward because there would be less supplies available to the market as we go into late summer. So I think we still need something more dramatic to really mix up the current supply-demand tables that we have here in the United States. And it kind of looks, at least for now, it's going to have to come from something in North America, or at least the Northern Hemisphere anyway, and most likely here in the United States, to really shake up the balance sheet.
Michael, I take it this is probably an outlook that you share, that once you get out, not into the next marketing year, but the following one, the 18-19 marketing year, things change based on the numbers you're seeing coming out of South America this season.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly that it would take a much more significant change to make an impact short term. But as a lot of my clients say, at least we're heading sort of in the right direction on the lower supply side going forwards. And then if the United States would have a hiccup in our corn production next year, then we're definitely going in the right direction as far as, you know, getting rid of some of this excess corn supply.
Dan, given all that we've heard about what's happened in Brazil and Argentina, producers are still left with crop, a big crop, frankly, that they have to market for this year in the United States and one for next year. Do you have suggestions?
Well, I think generally one needs to kind of play the seasonal tendency that have a strong tendency to grind higher as you go into the first part of the growing season. So while there's a lot of times ups and downs here through the winter months, the trend as a rule, markets strengthen into the growing season, and then it begins to size up whether or not we have any weather issues, and if we have any weather issues, what kind of impact does that put on production or vice versa. So I think for the most part, unless there's some super, super big surprises in next week's report, the market will try to grind steadily higher as we go into the growing season. Now, I think, you know, given what's going on in South America, soybeans probably have a little better legs underneath the market to try to rally. And, you know, December was a disaster for soybeans. It just steadily moved lower through the whole month. The last 10 days or so of December and through the holidays, the market kind of chopped sideways. And now the market's trying to break out of that sideways pattern and try to poise some form of recovery rally off of that December decline. Now, for someone that's maybe looking at a target to maybe sell some old crop soybeans, I guess I would try to be looking at, you know, something in the neighborhood of 40 to 50% retracement of that rally, and looking at the March contract, just eyeballing it, it would say that maybe March soybeans has a good shot at going back to the 990 level, $10 level, and of course, depending upon what the basis levels is, that could be at least a profitable point for farmers to unload some old crop soybeans. Now, if soybeans can get that type of rally going, I think if corn is going to have to find its support, I think from soybeans, it's going to have to follow soybeans, because I have, Michael will probably share his thoughts here after I get done, but I'm inclined to think the corn-soybean price ratio has probably bought additional soybeans at the expense of corn. So I think at some point in time between now and planting, December corn or corn futures will probably try to wake up and try to rally to try to keep that to a minimum. I know most decisions are made in the fall. Farmers have, for the most part, probably have already decided what they're going to plant. Now, they do leave a few acres open, depending upon how the market performs through the winter and through the spring. But I'm inclined to think corn acres are going to decline. And then if we see South America corn supplies coming down, that would maybe help a little bit on the export front. So I do think that there is a rally coming in corn, but I think it soybeans have to kind of lead it. And then we'll look at move it. Other than that, the corn market is basically in a 340, 360 trading range. And March corn futures for the time being basically is right at this 351 area. So I guess if I was looking to try to market some old crop corn over the next 30 days or so, I would try to at least try to shoot for something up there around 359, 360 area. I would probably still want to maybe have some, retain some form of ownership in corn, just in case we do get that weather market here in the United States. It's been since 12 since we've had any severe production damage due to weather. And so the odds begin to tilt that something could come along. So I would want to retain some form of ownership in both corn and soybeans. And that may be in a distant call option, out of the money call option, to just to kind of have in place if we would get into some kind of weather problem as we begin the growing season of 2018.
Well, Michael, speaking of weather, I know we've already talked about this just a bit, and the weather and its current impact on the crop in Argentina, parts of the southern growing regions of Brazil and some other places there. What do you see at this point of its potential impact moving forward?
Well, we do have a weather market in Argentina. The market kind of responds on a daily basis depending on what the forecast is. And the forecast right now is not very good for Argentina. For the next 10 days, very little rain in the forecast. Temperatures are going to be more elevated. I'm trending towards lowering my Argentine estimates because this forecast now takes us to the middle of January. And once you get to the middle of January, it's time to get, I think, a little bit more cautious. The basic problem in Argentina is dryness mostly in the northern part of the country. And that's where they do plant the last corn and the last soybeans. And the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange is saying that they might not plant all the double crop soybeans they're intending, or maybe some of the late corn. I think that's kind of the extreme. But certainly Argentina continues to have problematic weather. Brazil, on the other hand, they're starting to harvest a few fields in central Mato Grosso. They've been really wet. The forecast looks very wet there as well. So they're trying to harvest a few beans while Argentina is trying to plant the last beans.
On the, Michael, fundamentals of the marketplace, the United States Department of Agriculture next week on Friday will release, that's the 12th of January, the WASDE report, the final crop production numbers for the current marketing year, and of course the grain stocks numbers. Which of those will you be watching most closely, or all of them, in fact, and what numbers do you expect to change, if any?
Well, I think the corn production might go up a little bit. You know, big crops get bigger, and this thing surprised us all the way to the end of the crop. So the corn number might get a little bit bigger. The soybeans, I'm not expecting a larger soybean number. It might actually be trimmed a little bit, although soybeans may not change very much. But the corn might actually go up a little bit. And as far as the stocks numbers, I'll let Dan handle that because I don't deal too much in that. Dan?
Well, the stocks numbers are the most important because that's how USDA basically comes up with the production number. They kind of back out of it. They look at September 1 stocks, and then they look at December 1 stocks, and then they look at what disappeared during that quarter. Soybeans is pretty easy to count, so they can find out real quick whether or not they're off on acres or off on yield. Corn is not quite as easy because we have so much in that unexplained category called residual. Feed, seed, and residual. So, but the stocks number is how USDA basically comes up with the production number. So that'll tell you right away. The stocks number will tell you what the production is going to be, because that's how USDA comes up with the production number on the final. And there could be some acreage changes on that, as well as yield changes, because December 1 should be... The September 1 stocks number should be pretty solid because we got off to a late harvest. So that should be pretty solid. And then the December 1st stocks number should be pretty solid. And then they can look at disappearance through that quarter and then kind of back their way out of it. And we'll see what kind of changes they come up with it.
So do you think feed usage will be strong in the first quarter, Dan, or not?
Well, that's the question. That's going to lay the groundwork whether or not USDA's yearly projection is correct, or that will tell you whether or not the crop is larger or smaller. I mean that so That's the question of what did we use on feed, seed, and residual. And of course, like I said, that'll depend upon that'll show up. What I'm trying to say is that stocks number. Now that could change. That could be the number that changes feed and residual use. But that stocks one number is basically they're going to subtract the September number from it, and then they're going to subtract out export usage. They'll subtract out ethanol usage, and then they'll look at what's left, and then they'll determine whether or not their residual number or feed and is correct. And then they'll have to make adjustments to either acreage or yield to kind of match up what they think is really going on. So who knows what'll happen on that. But the December 1 number is what they use to come up with the final number for the most part.
Just as a reminder for folks, the grain stocks figures are a quarterly report. Relatively speaking, USDA calls it almost a census of the grain and oil seeds that are on hand in the United States, where they survey the grain elevators and all the other places, something like 9,000 of them, more than that maybe, to find out exactly what they do have in the bin. Of course, at this time of the year, the earlier in the season it is, the more of that that happens to still be on the farm. So it's difficult to estimate, especially as there have been more grain storage built on farm than there has been in the past. And they really don't know what's being walked off or fed to the livestock sector. So there's a lot of estimates that go in. Though this first one tends to be, according to the ag economist upstairs and the work that they've done here on campus at the U of I, the largest usage for livestock. For whatever reason, I don't know why that's the case, but that always tends to be the largest usage number for feed in any given year. Now, let's take a look, Michael, at some other items. Dan suggested that you might have some numbers for acreage for the coming year. That's not due out until the end of the month of March. I think it's on the 29th day this year. I think that's the Friday. What are you expecting farmers to put in the ground this year?
Yeah, I think the soybean number may go up a little bit. Corn holds steady, be my guess right now. But we got sort of a wild card here, and we do have sort of a developing drought in a lot of the southern areas, especially the wheat areas. So that hard red winter wheat had some very cold temperatures, not much snow cover. So it's possible that some of that wheat may not look very good come later in the spring, and it might plow some of that up. So same thing in the Delta. So the soft red winter wheat in the Delta is also sort of in a droughty situation. So I would say, and you got cotton. Cotton prices are pretty good, so cotton might take away a few acres. So you may take away some acres, go to cotton in the Delta, and then some of the wheat may not be very good, so that might go into cotton or maybe corn or soybeans. So it's kind of up in the air, I think, right now. I would say soybeans up 1 to 2 million, corn kind of hold even.
Hey, Dan, technically, long term, what are your cycles telling you about 2018? Anything in particular?
None other that we're open for some price strength. I think it's more of a, now soybeans probably, I mean, we can't continue the corn-soybean ratio, I guess. Well, I don't like to use the word can't or never in the market, because that's what the markets are there for. But it seems difficult for me that something's got to give. Either soybeans are going to come down in value, or corn is going to go up in value. I don't think this corn-soybean ratio that we currently have is going to stay in place. We got $3.25 cash corn in Central Illinois. My guess is eventually, if that's going to be the price, we're going to level out at $3.25 for Central Illinois cash corn average. Then, you know, soybeans are more than likely to come down from current levels, $1 or $1.50, go back to the old days of $3 corn and $7.50, $8 soybeans. I really don't like to really say that, but something's got to give. I think, and that's why I guess I'm in inclined to think we're going to see a drop in corn acres and an increase in soybean acres. So that'll level that out a little. But longer term, I guess I'm still in the opinion that something should come along to give us some pricing opportunities as we go on into finish 18 out and as we go into 19. Now, one thing I did want to mention, it's just one of those things I keep an eye on. I do see from the news that Mount St. Helen is looking like it may explode. The last time we had a major eruption was 1980, and that crop year, 1980, we basically had a drought south of Interstate 80. But so I don't know if you, if that's something will materialize or not, but that's something that I always kind of keep an eye on, something different. And I do see that Mount St. Helens, at least they're talking that it's at the ripest time to have an eruption. And the last time we had an eruption, it was 1980. And that year we had a drought basically south of Interstate 80.
Hey, Todd, just for your listeners, if you ever have a chance, go out and see Mount St. Helens. I was out there a number of years ago, and it is an awesome thing to see. To see how that side of that mountain just exploded sideways. So if anybody gets out to the West Coast, don't miss the opportunity to go see Mount St. Helens after the eruption.
Hey, Michael, anything else you want to share before we let you go for the day?
Well, you know, we've been having record after record crops, and Dan made a very good point. The last time we had a very bad crop in the United States was 2012. We're sort of due for a less than ideal growing season, and the last couple of years have been record after record, and a lot of people in market just sort of assume now that the genetics won't let us have a bad crop year. Well, that's not the case at all, of course. So there might be some opportunities, you know, price-wise, if we do have a less than an ideal growing season. And we're kind of due for one, I think.
On that note, I'll let you both go. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem.
Very well.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Listen to the whole of our program online anytime you'd like on demand at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our thanks go this week to our panelists, including Michael Cordonier of the Soybean and Corn Advisor out of Hinsdale, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.